Today is National Missing Children's Day, and we're reminded of exactly why this date is significant. It was begun by President Ronald Reagan in the early 80s as a way to honor 6-year-old Eitan Peetz. He went missing here in New York City 33 years ago today. He was one of the first missing children ever to appear on a milk carton. He vanished while walking to his school bus stop alone for the very first time. After decades of dead ends, false leads, New York City Police Commissioner Ray Kelly announced yesterday that a man has been arrested in connection with the boy's disappearance. Pedro Hernandez, a former bodega employee who lived in the same neighborhood as Eitan and was a teenager at the time when the 6-year-old disappeared.
We have a confession, a written confession, a signed confession. He spoke for 3.5 hours, videotaped statements. So, obviously, we believe that there's probable cause to go forward with this arrest.
In the flyer that was posted by the NYPD back in 1979, it shows a smiling, bright-eyed boy wearing an Eastern Airlines cap. That logo of an airline that's now defunct and barely remembered is a grim reminder of the changes that have gone on in the world without Eitan Peetz seeing them. But there's also a number of changes that occurred because of his disappearance, things that might not exist without the tragic story of the 6-year-old that wanted to walk to the bus stop by himself. We're joined now by Lisa R. Cohen, journalist and author of After Eitan, the missing child case that held America captive. Nice to talk to you, Lisa.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Obviously, this is a case that you know in detail, and so I wonder if what you have heard about Pedro Hernandez's confession, that he lured the little boy into the shop with the promise of a soda pop, led him to the basement. He says he killed him, put his body in a bag, and then left it with trash. Does any of that jibe with what you know of the circumstances of that day?
Well, I've never heard his name, and that's not to say that he wasn't on a list somewhere, because there were lists that went on longer than you could imagine back then and going forward. But he was never anybody that I saw people paying attention to. I know that Eitan, by his parents' account, left the loft that morning with this dollar bill that he had gotten the day before and had told his mother he was going to stop at the bodega and get himself a soda. So, and there is this bodega that's on the corner by the bus stop. But other than that, I have a lot of questions. I mean, I don't really understand what the motive was, and I don't understand. There's been a lot of speculation about whether or not he'd come forward in the past, that he had told others about this, that he had perhaps even told authorities about this, and that it had been dismissed. I think it's very early in the game to be able to parse out this revelation that, for me at least, came out of the blue.
You know, Eitan Peetz, the face became so familiar. He disappeared in 1979. I was 9 years old at the time, and I still remember it to this day. I wonder if in the course of your research, you got an idea of why Eitan Peetz. Why did he become, out of the number of kids who disappeared, why him?
Well, I did. I mean, a lot of different reasons, a lot of kind of a confluence of events. For one, they're actually... The number of children who go missing and are never found and who are the victims of stranger abductions in this country are actually, it's actually a very, very small number. But also, this is a story that never ended. You know, most cases there's a body found or the child returns home or there's some kind of resolution. And so this was an open-ended story, and every few years there would be some new revelation or some new development in the case that would bring it back into the public eye. But I think the most important thing was just that the narrative of this story was so heartrending. And, you know, it was his first time walking to school. He was this very beautiful little boy. His parents were articulate and compelling, and they intact and could appeal to the public in a very, you know, sort of convincing way. Most missing cases like this, there's a lot of attention on the parents, there's suspicion. And that certainly happened with the Peetz, if they were under suspicion every time there was an investigation. But in this case, they always sort of cleared that hurdle. His pictures, his father's a professional photographer, and his pictures were so beautiful. And this was a little white, blonde-haired boy with blue eyes, and he sort of represented every child.
So all of the things that came after Eitan Peetz, after the attention paid to this case, I wonder if you feel that it has made kids safer. I mean, Eitan Peetz kind of ushered in, not only helped usher in the era of kids on milk cartons, but I know it, in my own case, parents no longer felt it was safe for their kids to walk down the block. There was a loss of innocence in America, right, and to a certain extent, an attention paid to where a child is at every moment, their safety.
Right.
Has it made kids safer?
Yeah, you know, there's a big debate about that. I think it certainly has ushered in it has ushered in the ability to track missing kids, to track them in a really much more timely and more global way, so that, you know, back then in 1979 when a child went missing, the connections between law enforcement and, you know, state by state, and there was no kind of national clearinghouse, there were all kinds of connections were lost. And so in that sense, I think the recovery rate of missing kids is much higher. I don't know that the numbers have changed, and I don't know that kids are any or less or more safe these days. And it certainly has been argued that, you know, we're now a nation that just, you know, has our kids under unbelievable scrutiny at every minute, and how good is that for them?
No, we're speaking with journalist and author Lisa R. Cohen. So let me go back to the specific case of Eitan Peetz, and I wonder, mm-hmm, with what you know of these parents, and this is a big assumption, but let's say that it turns out that it's proven that Pedro Hernandez was, in fact, responsible for Eitan's disappearance and death. Do you think that offers closure after 33 years to his parents?
I'm not a big fan of the word closure. I don't think that when you find out what happens in a situation like this that it fixes things. It doesn't sort of close any particular loop. You know, there's a grief that's never really going to go away. I think that they have always wanted an answer. They have always wanted to know what happened, and that will be a helpful thing for them. And they've always, certainly Stan Peetz has always wanted to know that whoever is responsible for this was brought to justice and certainly would never be able to harm another child. But no, I mean, it doesn't end the pain.
It looks like you may have a new edition of your book, possibly due now. Lisa R. Cohen wrote the book after Eitan, The Missing Child Case That Held America Captive. Lisa, thank you so much.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.